I don't have my welcome home overhead ready for you this morning. I didn't really think about it because I'm not preaching, but I'm really happy to have our special guest preacher today. A lot of you don't know Whitney, and a lot of you that have come along with us in the past few years, maybe not familiar with her, but she grew up in this church. She's the daughter of Scott and Pam Browning. Pam, our worship leader, and Scott, our connections leader, as you come in the door. And she's the sister to her two handsome brothers. Both of them, they alternate in and out of the praise team. But Whitney is the baby. And I was told to introduce her as baby, Whitney baby, but I'm not going to do that. But she is now Whitney Browning Nix. She left us a few years ago. She graduated Bluefield, what was then Bluefield College, now Bluefield University. She went on an amazing journey with the Awakening, which is a missions program, ministry within the Pentecostal Holiness Church. And, she had been bitten by the missions bug before then. And the missions bug really latched on to her through Awakening. And she went and spent some time in Africa on assignment there. And then she was solicited to come back to work in the general offices in the World Missions Department, which are located in Oklahoma. And in the process of all this, she met this eligible bachelor. He was getting very old, and he needed a wife. And I'm just picking at Brian just a little bit. Brian, I'm going to introduce him a little bit further. He also is a great part of our World Missions Department in Oklahoma. But they became husband and wife, so she is now Whitney Browning Nix. But let's give Whitney a hand as she comes to share the message this morning.
Well, I just want to say good morning, and it's happy to be home. This is home for me. It's so good to see so many faces that I don't recognize. I truly count that as a good thing, because it would be such a shame if every time I came home, it was the same group of people, because that would mean the church was not growing. But indeed, the church has continued to grow, and it is incredible. I hope I get to know all of you, or at least meet some of you, but I believe that the Lord has been working in this house, has been working through Pastor Inar and Sarah. You may not know it yet, or you may, who knows, but they are incredible pastors, both of them. Incredible leadership. Yeah, honor them this morning. They've been here, I found this out over the weekend, they've been here now 10 years, which is crazy, or almost 10 years. 10 years as of in a few months, or just recently 10 years. Over 10 years. And I told them that means that they've seen me through some very awkward stages, as have many of you. We were joking this morning. Some of you have changed my diapers. Some of you have seen me through my awkward teenage years, my crazy hyper childhood years, with me through my college years, which I also term as my calling years, when I know the Lord really called me. And yet somehow he still lets me preach, though they've seen me through all of these many things. But it is an absolute honor. It's an absolute honor to be here with you. Thank you for all your support through the years, through sending me as a missionary, for coming to our wedding. So many of you were at our wedding. It is a joy to have my husband, which is weird to say still, Brian Nix, over here with me. It's not often that we get to travel together, but when we do, I count it as a real blessing. He's usually the one who gets to speak, so he's having to sit on the sideline this morning and listen to his beautiful wife share the word of God. But I just want to briefly share, as I almost called you bishop, I'm so used to saying bishop, as Pastor Inar said, yeah, he'll take it. As Pastor Inar said this morning, we both get to work and serve World Missions Ministries, which is a department of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. And I want to share with you this morning that the International Pentecostal Holiness Church is growing worldwide. We are larger outside of the U.S. than we are inside of the U.S. We have 13 regions, and we have a ministry presence in 114 nations around the world, continuously growing and moving into more. Yeah, give God glory for that. We are seeing through our missionaries on the field and regional directors who are doing the work, we are seeing more be saved and added numbers to the kingdom of God daily. We are seeing churches planted. We are seeing members gained into those churches. And the Lord continues to do signs, wonders, and miracles all over the world, even in the places where they're facing persecution. The church continues to increase. What an amazing God we serve. But I'm not just excited to share with you about world missions this morning or to represent world missions in some sort of way this morning, but I'm excited to share the word of God with you today. So if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and we're going to read through chapter 5 to verse 11. So we've got a little bit of a lengthy passage this morning, but if you'll hang in there with me, I believe the Lord will bless the reading and the sharing of His word as we get into the biblical truths that He has to share with us, His people, and this church body. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 32. Here's what it says. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that of any of the things that belonged to them was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as was needed. Thus Joseph, who was also called the apostle Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We're going to read on to chapter 5, verse 1. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. We'll read on to verse 7. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Verse 9, but Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately, she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in and they found her dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. A long passage, and we're going to get into it. But first, will you pray with me that the Lord would bless his word and this word that's about to come forth? Father, we come to you today so thankful for the way that you have blessed this church already this morning. So thankful for the ways that you're moving in the lives and hearts of every single individual. We pray that you would bless this word that's about to come forth, that it would penetrate deep into the hearts and minds of those who are present here this morning, that you would give us open eyes, open ears, and open hearts to what the Spirit is saying, that we would have open hands to what you're doing, and that we would respond in action and not sit by and watch things go on as they are. Father, we thank you. I pray that you would bless me as I share your word, that it would be communicated clearly. In the name of Jesus, amen. Can I tell you this is a difficult passage? I don't know if you've ever asked the question, but I remember when I was younger, and some of y'all taught me in children's church, but when I would read this passage, I was like, people died in the New Testament. They lied and they died. I thought that just happened in the Old Testament, but yet here we are, and we see this passage of scripture where in Acts, The new church is starting, and all these things are rising up, and we have people who are giving their own possessions all over the place to provide for the church. But then we see this couple who sells a piece of their land, and when they sell a piece of their land, they keep back part of the profits and then lie about it, and then the Lord, from what it reads, strikes them dead. It's a challenging passage of Scripture. And let me tell you, I asked the Lord multiple times, Lord, if this cup may pass from me, let it. But I kept going back to this passage over and over and over. And here's the thing. I was telling Brian this. I've told our church, we serve our local church out in Oklahoma, and I listened to what's called the Dwell Bible app. It's very similar to the Bible. If you have just the generic Bible app, I don't know if you know this, but you can press play in some versions of Scripture, and it will read it to you instead of you just reading it on your phone. Well, I was raised in West Virginia. I should not be scared of bugs the way that I am. My brothers have called me bougie at times, if you know what that means. If not, you can ask them. I've been a little bougie. And I listened to the Dwell Bible app, which is a little bit bougie of a version of the Bible app. And what it does is it reads you the Scripture, and it has worship music behind it as it's very solemn and peaceful, and it's reading the Scripture to you. And I'll usually listen to this as I'm getting ready for work and then on my drive into work. Well, usually when you listen to things like this, each morning when you press play, it picks up where it left off. Well, for a series of 3 or 4 days, it did not pick up where it left off. Instead, it kept returning time and time again to this passage of Scripture. And I'm not one to try to overanalyze and over-spiritualize everything, at least most of the time. But I began asking the Lord, okay, Lord, why? Why are you taking me back to this passage of Scripture over and over and over and over? And it may have been 4 days, but 4 days of listening to the same passage of Scripture, you begin to get a little curious of what the Lord may be doing. And I remember Brian and I, we serve our worship team, and it's a Saturday night, and we're making sure we have our parts down, and we're making sure we're ready for Sunday morning and all these things. And my mind kept going back to this passage of Scripture. And I remember just stopping what I was doing, and I asked the Lord, I was like, why? Why do you keep taking me back to this certain passage of Scripture? And I began to feel like the Lord was asking me a question that I then knew I had to share with you. And it's this. Are you giving to the Lord what you deem as sufficient, or are you giving him everything he has asked of you? Are you giving him everything that he's asked of you, or are you just holding your hands, holding on to some things and saying, I'll give you this, but not this. I'll give you this, but not this. And now in this case, they're talking about money in particular given to the church and trusting the apostles to then go and give it to the right people and meet the needs of the church. But this morning, I want to challenge you. What has the Lord asked you to give that you're not yet giving? But first, we have to start with this. To understand what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, you have to understand what happened to the early church. And to understand what happened to the early church, we first have to understand this man, Jesus. I'm here to challenge you a little bit this morning to see what it is in your life that we need to call forth so that you can draw closer and closer to the Lord. As I began to pray and seek the Lord's face, as Pastor NR and I had talked about coming and serving, of course you start to pray for the congregation and what the Lord may have you share with this congregation. And as I continued praying about what it was that I was going to share, I just continued to feel the Lord press on my heart that I was to call people out of complacent Christianity, out of nominal Christianity, out of a stagnation that you may be in your walk with the Lord. And maybe if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior yet, today is the day of salvation. So before we can move into the story of Ananias and Sapphira, first, you need to understand this man, the Christ. See, we're reading the passage of Acts. And in the passage of Acts, it's believed that the author is the same author who wrote the Gospel of Luke. So you can call Acts kind of the sequel of Luke. And we know that Luke, as a gospel, ends with Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and then ascension into heaven. And then Acts picks right back up right where Jesus is speaking to the disciples who then become the apostles, and he's sharing with them to stay in one place. And as they stay in one place, they're going to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit so that they can go out into Jerusalem, Judea, all of Samaria, to the ends of the earth, to preach the gospel, to make more disciples, a little bit of a missions plug here, but to fulfill the great commission when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So then what happens is they gather in the upper room. 120 of them are there. And they begin to pray, and they stay, and they seek the Lord, and they seek for this gift of the Holy Spirit, because they know they've been commanded to stay in this place until he comes. And then, in an instant, he comes, and tongues of fire drop on them, and sounds like a mighty rushing wind come through the room, and the people begin to speak in tongues. We've already had some tongues this morning. This is a Pentecostal church this morning. We got to talk about Pentecostalism this week at the National Pastors Conference, and it is still moving and still working. But there in the upper room, they began to speak in other tongues, and they began to recognize, because they were from different people groups, different places of different languages, and they began to recognize the gospel being preached in their own language. I don't know if you've ever had mockers come up to you before. But when this began to happen, they began to have some mockers who said, oh, they're just filled with wine. They're just drunk, basically. That's all that's happening here. But it's not what was happening. And Peter stood up and he preached the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he did, 3,000 people were added to the kingdom of God in one single day. In one day. 3,000 people. Wouldn't you be rejoicing if right now 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus Christ right now in this day? Maybe even in Bluewell, maybe even in Bluefield, maybe even in West Virginia, Virginia, Tennessee, the whole region. Wouldn't you want to see 3,000 people or more give their lives to Jesus Christ today? Today is the day of salvation. And I have to tell you this morning, if you're going to understand what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, you have to understand this man, Jesus. Because 3,000 may have been added. And then the early church began, and they began to share with each other all their possessions and all their belongings. And I know Pastor NR has already mentioned it this morning, but like I said, today is the day of salvation. And maybe even for you. So before we move any further, I want to ask you and challenge you, have you began to question God's existence? Have you began to question Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension? What's going on in your heart this morning? Maybe you haven't believed and accepted Christ for the first time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn into right relationship with God. So if that's you, I just pray that the Lord would move on your heart, that you would today come back into right relationship with the Father, with the King of Kings, with the Jesus who gave his life so that you could have life and life everlasting. To understand the story of Ananias and Sapphira, you have to first understand the man of Jesus. This is the first message ever preached, actually. Repent and sin no more. 3,000 were added to the kingdom that day. Let's keep going through the Ananias and Sapphira account. So here we are in Acts, right? We're seeing people give up all of their possessions, all of their belongings. We're seeing them want to serve the church, be for the church. This is something that was modeled by the man Jesus himself when he cared for the lost and the broken. If you're sick, are you visiting them? If they're hungry, are you giving them food? If they're in prison, are you going to see them? He came to set captives free. He came to give sight back to the blind. And the early church began to see all these miraculous signs and wonders begin to take place. And the Bible says that not only were 3,000 souls added that day, but the church continued to see salvations added day by day by day by day. Now, it's believed that Ananias and Sapphira were not strangers to the early church. It's believed that they were known, that people knew who they were, that they were somewhat familiar. And yet here we are in this passage of the early church. And mind you, this early church was called to an extreme amount of holiness, as we are, today's church, called to an extreme amount of holiness. But yet here we are, and they choose to sell their land and keep some of the profit and then lie about it. And I want to ask you again today, are you giving to the Lord what you've deemed as sufficient, or are you giving to the Lord what he has asked of you? That may be different for each and every individual in this room today. And like I said, it may not be a monetary thing. It may not be money. Now, I work for World Missions, and we go and do a lot of fundraising. All of our directors do, all of our missionaries do, and one of the things that you're taught to do is make an ask, because we need funds, because it's not about the money. It's about growing people into the kingdom and expanding all of what the Lord is doing all over the world. But that's not what I'm doing this morning. I'm challenging you. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's your time. Maybe he's asking for more of your attention. Now, this is a story that I know for a fact that I have shared in this church before, because it was what the Lord shared with me when I began to feel called to South Africa. But I remember one night, I was laying in my bed. And how many of you know sometimes you try to go to sleep and it just doesn't work? You just try and you're just laying awake in bed. Well, as a little girl, I was blessed to have some amazing people in my life, like my Uncle Nathan and Aunt Vicki Morris, who were our children's pastors at the time, and my mom and dad, who raised me, taught me so well. But I was raised being taught that if you're stirred in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, sometimes the best thing to do is get up and go get your word. So I got up and I went over to my desk and I pulled out my Bible and I pulled out my little notepad and I began to just ask the Lord, what is going on? What are you stirring in my spirit? And the Lord dropped in my spirit the passage in Matthew about the kingdom of heaven being like a treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. A man, upon finding it, covers it up, goes, sells everything that he has, and he goes back and he buys the field. And I remember thinking to myself that night and challenging the Lord a little bit, and I was like, Lord, but why? Why didn't he just, listen, my dad is a banker. My dad was a banker. We were taught to be pretty, I don't know about my brothers, they can vouch for themselves, but I'm pretty cheap, okay? And so I was like, okay, Lord, why didn't he just go and see how much the treasure was worth? Because if the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure, why didn't he go and see how much the treasure was worth and then go sell whatever belongings he needed in order to go back and buy the treasure? Why did he not do that? But that's not what scripture says. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. And the Lord began to reveal to me then that it's just a glimpse. That treasure was just a glimpse of the glory of God, and it was just a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. And the man knew that he had to go and sell everything and give everything that he had in order to get the kingdom of heaven. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added to you. What do you feel like the Lord is asking for you to give to him today? Is it more time? Is it more attention? Is it those secret sins that you have lying dormant behind closed doors that he's asked you to give up time and time again, yet you continue to hold on to them because you think that you can serve two masters, when scripture clearly tells us that a slave, a man, cannot serve two masters? You can't serve this and God. You can't serve sin and God. You can't have everything how you want it in your own time and your own way and all of God. It's everything. He wants everything. He wants all of you this morning. So I want to call you out of nominal Christianity, and I want to challenge you. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your days? Are you seeking him outside of a Sunday morning? Are you giving him your whole life? Or are you showing up on Sunday mornings and saying, this is it, you can have my Sunday for about 2 hours, and then I'm good, and maybe I'll come on Wednesday night, and maybe I'll, I don't know, read scripture a little bit here and there, and maybe I'll pay my tithe, but I won't do any extra of that giving stuff because my tithe is enough. And maybe I don't know, maybe I don't need to serve in this way that makes me uncomfortable because I can serve like this and this is really good, even though I know the Lord really wants me to serve in this area. What is the Lord asking of you today? Are you giving to Him what you have deemed as sufficient? Or are you giving to Him what He has asked of you? Two quick stories, both involving friends from Oklahoma. Praise God that we've made friends in Oklahoma. It makes such a difference to have community and friends around you. But one couple shared with us this story. They had had family members that came to church. Rich, wealthy family members. Okay? They came to church. They came once, years ago. To this day, we just had dinner with the couple the other night, and they were telling us again that to this day, their family members won't step foot in church because they know if they do, they'll get convicted and they'll get saved. And if they get convicted and get saved, their whole life has to change. Their whole life has to turn around and look different. And they're not yet willing to sacrifice the pleasures of this world to have the fullness of the kingdom of God. But what I want to encourage you with today is that you're going to pay somewhere. You're going to either pay in eternity or you're going to pay here on this earth. And wouldn't it be better to sacrifice the pleasures of this earth than to dwell with God forever? Forever. Second story. A couple. They don't watch bad television because we shouldn't be watching bad television, right? Disney movies with their kids, different things that they just felt they had permission to do. But the Lord began to move on their hearts, on her heart specifically, that she needed to take a break from television, from movies, from networks that show things. And she resisted and she fought and kept watching and would watch a movie. And slowly but surely, the Lord began to drain the desire from her. She would turn on a movie and she would turn it on because she thought it was how she would find rest and relaxation. And there would be no joy in it. There would be no peace in it. And the Lord kept reminding her, I've asked you to give this to me. I've asked you to give this to me. I've asked you to give this to me. Until one day her husband came to her and he said, I feel like the Lord has asked us to give up entertainment through the form of television or movies or shows. And immediately her heart just ripped. And she repented, saying, I knew that I was supposed to give that up. And I fought the Lord on it. And I've resisted Him on it because it's my way of rest. It's my way to find peace after a long day of working hard. But how many of you know that our rest and our peace is found in the Comforter and the God of heaven and earth? When He asks you to give up something, He doesn't just leave an empty space and an empty void there. But rather, if you'll allow Him and if you'll search for it in the right places, which is in the Word and prayer, then He'll draw you closer and closer to Him. And I'm here today because I want to encourage you to draw closer and closer and closer and closer to the Lord than ever before. Are you giving to the Lord what is sufficient, or are you giving to the Lord what you deem is, are you giving to the Lord what's sufficient and you deem as necessary, or are you giving to the Lord what He has asked of you? I want you to look at your neighbor for a minute and say, are you kidding yourself? Are you kidding yourself? AI, artificial intelligence, is ever growing in this world. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just using a term that no one understood, you know? So I was like, I grew up hearing don't kid yourself, or are you kidding yourself, or all of these terms. So I looked it up, and AI told me this. To kid yourself means to stop, or don't kid yourself, rather, stop deceiving yourself, or face a truth about a situation, even if it's unpleasant. even if it's unpleasant. Look to your neighbor again and say, are you kidding yourself? Here's the thing. Ananias and Sapphira's sin was not that they didn't give the Lord all of the money. That wasn't the sin. Because scripture tells us, he says, was it not yours? Was the land not yours before you sold it? And was not the money to keep for you to use before you gave it to the church? But rather, they bring it and they lay it at the apostles' feet and they say, this is it. This is all we had. It's yours. But they held on to a piece of it. And they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the Holy Spirit. But in the process, they were also deceiving themselves and deceiving their church. They were deceiving themselves, deceiving their church, and attempting to deceive the Holy Spirit. Look to your neighbor one more time and say, are you kidding yourself? Are you kidding yourself? They were recognized. They were known in their community, or at least it's believed they were known in their community. And just previously, before we enter into chapter 5, we see at the very end of chapter 4, another man who sells his land. And he brings the full amount, not half, not partial. He didn't bring some of it and also just say, well, I sold the whole thing, but I'm keeping half, but you know, you can have the other half. No, he sold it and he brought it before the apostles and he laid it down at their feet for them to use for the church. And some scholars believe that it was Ananias' and Sapphira's attempt to play church. They wanted to appear as though they were also doing the same that the rest of their church community was willing to do. And in the process, they not only deceived themselves by thinking, oh, I've got this church thing down. I know what it means to follow Christ. I show up to my church on Sunday mornings. I may serve on whatever team it is my pastor has asked me to serve on. And I do all the right things. I work really hard to keep my salvation. I do all the right things. I have this church thing down. Man, I'm good at it. Maybe they're deceiving themselves. Maybe there's more to it there. Sometimes, and I share this because there is an element of this that was certainly me. Growing up in the church, you begin to grow very familiar with things. You begin to grow very familiar with even the man of Jesus. You begin to grow very familiar with things that you think are just rules and regulations when really the Lord has implemented them to keep your soul and your spirit and to keep you safe and to keep you of sound mind. But yet, we grow familiar. And we begin to think, I've got this church thing down. I know how to do church. I know how to come. I know how to lead worship on a Sunday morning. I've got all the right things. And meanwhile, the Lord may be asking you, will you wake up at 6 a.m. and spend an hour with me in prayer instead of sleeping in for another hour before you go to work? Will you give over your tithe to something I've asked you to give to because I plan to bless you for your giving? Will you continue to hold on to these distractions and things that take you away from me? Or will you answer the full call of the gospel and form your life to look like Christ, to act like Christ? Because no longer in a world today, in this world today, how do we ever dare think that we can come into church and play church when there is a lost and dying world outside who desperately needs to hear the gospel of the kingdom of heaven? But yet we come into church and we sit there and we think that we have it all under control and that we can play the game and we can do the things, but our hearts don't beat on the inside. Our hearts aren't stirred on the inside. Moments like happened in worship this morning can happen, and we find ourselves judgmental and critical and thinking, okay, Lord, well, that's really weird. Why did you do that? Instead of letting your heart be stirred for what the Lord is doing in His body, in His church, and around the world. But yet we sit back and we continue to play church, and we continue to do the things that we feel like we're supposed to do, never challenging more, never walking into more, and we're deceiving ourselves. And in the process, I would challenge you this morning that you're attempting in your efforts to play church and in your efforts to do the right thing but not walk fully in the steps that the Lord has ordained for the righteous, you're also attempting to deceive the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that's you this morning. I've certainly been convicted of it. But I just want to challenge you. I just want to be here to ask, are you playing church? Are you playing church? Are you giving the Lord His full worth? Are you doing what He's asked of you this morning? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all other things will be added to you. Maybe you've had some roadblocks along the way. Maybe you feel like you can't do more for the church or what the Lord has asked because you have a stack of bills stacking up on your table. But the Bible says, seek ye first, and the Lord will provide. Maybe you're needing some type of restoration in your family or reconciliation with your family, and you continue to strive for it. But the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all other things will be added. Or maybe this morning you need physical healing in your body. Thank you. Maybe this morning you need physical healing in your body. And you've been so worried about it that you haven't acted in obedience of what the Lord is asking you to do. But the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added to you. Will you stand with me this morning? And I just want to ask you two questions. And they're this. Again, are you giving to the Lord what you have deemed as sufficient and enough, or are you giving to the Lord what He has asked of you? And maybe you've heard the call, and maybe you think you're giving all that He's asked of you, but you're still holding on to some of those things. And I want to ask you this morning, are you kidding yourself? Are you lying to yourself, and in the process, lying to you and grieving the Holy Spirit through not answering the call and being obedient? But like I said, the story of Ananias and Sapphira doesn't just start there. It starts with the early church. And it starts with knowing Christ. It's actually a redemptive story. I don't know if you realize this or not, but this passage of Scripture is considered a miracle of judgment. Is what it's considered, a miracle of judgment, where the Lord placed a grace upon the early church to recognize that they had to walk in holiness, that that was the option that they had. But if you'll close your eyes, I just want to ask you this. First and foremost, do you have a personal relationship with the man, Jesus Christ? And if you do not, see, we can't get to the rest of it until we start there. But first and foremost, do you have a personal relationship with the man, Jesus Christ? And if you do not, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to start that journey, to start that process, to start that walk with the Lord. And if that's you, if you need to give your life to Jesus, it is well worth it. If you need to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or you recognize that it's time again, then I just want you to raise your hand. There's no shame. There's no fear. He's good. Secondly, is the Lord, or has the Lord, through today, maybe even in worship, you began to feel the pull of the Holy Spirit to lay something down that needs to be laid down at the altar of God? Maybe there's a sin that you need to lay down at this altar today so that you can repent, turn, and never turn back to that sin. Maybe there's something that you recognize is keeping you from holiness, is keeping you from your full walk with the Lord, and you need to give it up, but you've struggled, or you've tried for yourself, but it hasn't been enough, and you need the Lord to step in and intervene and help with the process. If that's you, I want to encourage you today to take the step of faith and come down to the altar and ask the Lord to help rip those things out of your heart and out of your life so that you can give Him everything. Thirdly, have you been playing church? It's challenging. It can be hard for us to answer that, especially when we're in a room full of our church and believers. But have you been playing church this morning? If so, it's time to repent. It's time to stop deceiving yourself and stop deceiving the Holy Spirit and walking in everything that He has asked. If that's you, I want to encourage you to come to the altar and give it to the Lord. Now I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. And again, I'm not going to make you come. You don't have to come. But if that's you, don't go home. Don't go home the same. Don't let your heart not be stirred. Don't let your heart not be changed. Don't let fear stop you. Give it all to God, because He is worthy. He is worthy of it all. So Father, we thank You today. We thank You today that You made a way for us to come into communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Chase said earlier, the veil was torn, and we have full access. Full access. But God, it's for the believer. So this morning, those of us who need to maybe rededicate our hearts to You, to say, I've been half doing it, or I've been semi doing this Christian or church thing, Father, today I give every ounce of it to You all over again. All over again. Or God, maybe for those of us who need to lay something down this morning, Father, rend our hearts that we would not grieve You or Your Spirit. God, that we would be willing to have hands wide open to whatever Your Spirit is asking us to give, Father, that we would no longer walk in nominal Christianity, but that we would go straight for the kingdom of God and seek Ye first, and that You would add all others. And God, finally, we repent. We repent for the ways that we have grieved Your heart. We repent for playing church. We repent for acting like we're good Christians when sometimes we're not. And God, we ask that You would stir us again. Fan afresh the flame in our hearts. That we would return to You in fullness, because when we first came to You, God, You truly were worthy of every single thing that we had. And somehow along the way, You become not enough, Father, but today You are enough again. So we love You, Father. And we ask that You would continue to work in our hearts.